Welcome to this podcast and Thriving Abroad, where we support organisations as they work to maximise the potential of their global mobility programmes. Through our services, we support assignees and their families to create lives and careers they love while they're living overseas. I created this podcast to share expat stories to inspire and express advice to help organisations and individuals navigate the challenges and maximise the opportunity of international transitions. And today I'm delighted to welcome Jana Gál. Jana is from Prague in the Czech Republic, but is currently living in Brussels with her family, where she works as a career consultant, facilitating workshops and individual coaching sessions with expats and expat partners. Now, prior to becoming an expat herself, Jana was an HR manager, a role that included responsibility for managing international assignments. And so I'm really interested to have this opportunity to talk with Jana about these different perspectives that she's experienced. She's experienced managing global mobility and international assignments from the HR perspective. She's relocated herself to Bratislava as an international assignee. And she has also moved with her partner, who's an international assignee, as the expat partner. So she has those three different perspectives on the whole experience. And I want to talk to her about those differing perspectives and what global mobility professionals can learn from expats and vice versa. So, Jana, a very warm welcome to the Thriving Abroad podcast.
Thank you very much, Louise.
It's great to have you. Thank you for joining us. So, just to set the scene, I wonder if you could share with us four or five quickfire facts about you and your life.
Well, as you said, yes, I come from the Czech Republic. Why is it interesting to mention again? Because this is one of the East European countries. They joined the global mobility market and the global labor market in the 90s only. So our culture or our countries are relatively new in the whole expatriate community and in the whole global mobility. That's one thing I think is interesting, and maybe later we will come more to this point. I was living abroad since my 18th year. So since it was legally possible to travel, I went through several global mobility situations, as we can see it. So I was a student. I study university abroad. I as well was working as an illegal worker. So really, I was even in this sort of insecure situation and yes, working without permission, because that time was not possible yet in every country to get the permission to work. I was working as an au pair girl, which is as well an interesting and different status. And then I married a foreigner. My husband is Hungarian. We speak at home different language from our native languages. So we speak English, really. So this is another, I would say, global mobility situation. We are an international family. And I was exactly how you mentioned, I was employed abroad as an expat or assignee. And now I am expat spouse. So the other fact may be interesting to all these is that I study intercultural communication and social anthropology abroad in Germany, in Munich. And addition to it, yes, I am a former HR employee, and I indeed was dealing with an agenda of international assignees, with expats. They were in our payroll, and I was for them the contact they came back to. And now, why I am telling this and what is actually interesting, but despite all these, you would say, theoretical and as well practical and experience I had. The situation as expat spouse was something I believed I am completely a candidate, I am prepared. It was not easy. And, you know, when I, before we got there to be international family being sending abroad, and I knew I am taking the role of a rather passive member of this process. I imagine probably it would be some nice, experience similar to exciting holidays.
I think you're not alone in that. Yeah,
this was really different than I could imagine. And yes, this is the five facts.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. And I hadn't realised quite the scope of your experience. And I'd like to start our conversation around sort of sharing your perspectives. Is perhaps looking initially at the perspective of international relocation from that of the HR manager supporting international assignees. So what did you see as your challenges as you were, you know, helping them through that process? And how did you view the challenges of the expat from that HR perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, the challenges for me as an HR manager, I had the agenda of few expats. They were four or five people. Some of them I knew personally, and some of them not at all. I inherit them from my colleague. I inherit their files, and I supposed to support them in the situation. One fact which maybe explains the challenges, and it may be different for some of my colleagues in old European countries, I would call it so, or in US, is the fact that we were completely new in this situation, and we did not have the experience. There was not knowledge management at the time for this kind of agenda. We didn't have any standard operation procedures available. I could hardly, or I could not share any tips for best practices and get any tips. And yet we sort of believed it will be easy manageable because we had for our support, we had the legal and taxation advisor, which was Deloitte. This is a pretty good partner for these things. So obviously, yes, and we believe there is this transition or this relocation should be actually smooth, and we clarified things which were visible, you see, and what was not visible, we did not have experience with, we didn't clarify. So the situation came up only during the process when the assignee was on the other side. What would be the challenges exactly was, first of all, not being prepared for the situation properly, and even on the top, not dedicate too much time, not plan in too much time in my agenda. So it was, there was maybe a 2% of dealing in my agenda with these cases, but they were obviously much more time consuming. So I often remember getting nervous, frustrated, and getting the feeling that if I probably not doing too much care for them than I should, you know. It was like this kind of, which I sometimes have the feeling when I deal as well with the HR here where we belong. I can exactly feel that for them it's not easy, because any question which is on the top of the standard takes their time away, you know. And well, so what would be And on the other side, the challenge for the expat, this is crazy, and this is a big thing, obviously, because you sent somewhere with clear goals, maybe not very clear goals, but with some goals, and then you know the environment is different from the environment you used to work and concentrate and focus, which is. Even the climate is a problem. Imagine that there is a 20 degree suddenly more, or you are all the time under strong air condition you are not used to. You know, physical problems, physical condition itself is something which can prevent you from performing and delivering.
Absolutely.
And food can be, you know, you cannot get the food you used to, you know, digesting how you are used to. So getting into the rhythm is a big challenge. And then you deal with a team of people who is internationally, obviously, with huge variety. And you know, there comes all sort of challenges together. When I mentioned one is maybe even the dealing with the country specific issues like holidays, you know, the number of days people are eligible or they have a right to take holidays, or they must take the holidays. So you have suddenly half of the team away. Still, you know, or working hours, all the offices used to leave by 5, but you know the load of work you need to deliver is not for 8 hours daily, it's much longer. So, you know, these specific things makes an expat really that the challenge is much, much harder than we can imagine. And then a little obstacle can trigger and really yes. A nervous breakdown. So I can share that for me one day, and you know, I was relocated only from Prague to Bratislava. So all these things I was just mentioning now were not there, but many little other adjustments that I could not suddenly one day park in the front of the house where I had the apartment. I had to walk quite far, and it was already really dark because I was working overtime. And there was so big snow.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I was just sitting in a car. I could not go up the hill because the car was not able. I didn't have chain on wheels. And I could not imagine now in the night, I will set the chains. And I had to let the car quite on some sort of busy street I didn't want to, and walk up the hill. And I just was crying for this little thing, which, you know, I would say, come on, I mean, then you walk, so what? But I could not bear anymore. So this is just the, I would say, experience and example for that. This can be sometimes pretty hard, and no wonder that people sometimes getting nervous for little things because
yes.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
The whole situation is challenging.
Yeah. However well-defined policy is, there's always going to be these points of contention between assignee and policymaker, because everyone's different. Everyone has different requirements at some point in a relocation. And then your point about the importance of just recognizing the little things. I think settling in and giving expats this time to settle in is so important, isn't it, in the early days. What do you think, if you now sort of turn around and put the hat of expat, international assignee on, rather than that of the HR person, what do you think HR teams should know and understand about the experience? And we've talked about the need for local knowledge and recognizing the challenge. Is there anything else?
I would say it would be very advisable or interesting in this process to have a global mobility advisor, not only the relocation service and not only the legal assistance, like in our case was Deloitte, but someone who has been in that situation, who knows the specifics and can help Exactly, not only delivering the country-specific training on local customs, but as well knows very well the transition process from the psychological perspective, and knows the process by the experience as well. This would be great help as well. In a sense of a mediator between these two parties.
Because I think one thing that people tend to forget is we're not just talking about a career change or a job move. It's a complete life change in every respect, isn't it? So it's managing a change process for the individual, and if family goes to family too. And there are so many different parts of that process that go beyond the company and the actual job change, as much even recognizing that that's a big change anyway in yeah. terms of yeah the role and the new culture and working environment you're adapting and adjusting to as well. How do you think the whole process of relocation could be better managed for all the stakeholders in the process, so the organization, the assignee, and the family?
I have to say the best example I could experience was the, obviously this was the last experience as we were moved as family. Really what you said, that you can say that actually we can see that the company is being a long time already on a global market and in a global mobility. They know, they have the knowledge, they know what to offer and really how to secure the best way well-being of the family and well done relocation. So we received a great package, and with all the care for us, like someone obviously with relocation and then school search and you know, I received certain amount for learning the language and then other kind of support. It was excellently done. Maybe because it's always like what you ask, if there would be something which could work a bit better to make step towards improvement, yes, we all search for that. I would say what would help me a great deal would be when before the relocation, and now I speak only as a member of, you know, participant of this relocation process as an expat spouse, the family member. And for me would have been probably easier to go through the transition if I knew something more about how this process works and what it means as well for the company, what you know, what they how they think about us and how this everything is from their point of view. So I would say a simple meeting with where my husband obviously had several of such meetings, but to invite me as well into the process, I would say maybe would be enough one meeting that before happens before, where they could tell me, okay, you are going to Brussels. There is a strong international community here. You have address of someone who is in charge of organizing community of expat spouses, so you know where to ask for help if, and I don't know, and here is some list of useful lectures or books you can read about people in similar situation like expat spouses, because I discovered only the first year that there has been plenty of literature written actually about expat spouses and what is it to be expat spouse, because I before I didn't know, I just thought this is some kind of great, wonderful, experienced holiday, long-term holiday, you know, so naive, but I know, but it was my, you know, first step into. So I think not only the concentration of the physical relocation, but to dedicate little time, but dedicate for pulling in into the process the spouse, but personally, to have the personal contact with someone. And the same on the other side, the time we arrive, maybe in the first half year, to again invite us together and ask how we feel, what we need, what the company would still give us. There was not too much to give us because we were plenty well equipped with the package, and they knew it for sure, yes. Only that, you know, there could be here and there. I would have for sure asked the first half a year, okay, give me some contact to someone here in similar situation, because I felt very lonely in that. And I think it can be even outsourced, as the company my husband works for started to do recently. So they have specialists or experts who are taking care for you know, for expat partners. Mm-hmm. Then probably now it runs more like some process, but before it was more and less organically that I by chance got the contact to someone to discover the broader community of expat spouses and expat partners. So this would probably improve the process, I think.
So a more formal process around involving the partner.
Exactly.
So developing their understanding in terms of the purpose and, yeah, and the impact, I suppose, on them of a relocation. It's not, yes, not like a long holiday. It might be initially, but long term, yeah, that benefit fades, doesn't it? And then, keeping that communication process going. I suppose recognizing it's a two-way thing as well. I think often people think about communication in the sense of sharing of information, which is helpful, but it's also very helpful to be given an opportunity to express, you know, your views and opinions back. So a two-way conversation and feel that you're engaged in the process.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. And so if you were going to give some tips and advice to an assignee and their partner about dealing and working with the organisation, what would those tips be in terms of, for example, well, let's start with the relocation process itself. How should they handle that in terms of their communications with the organisation?
I think there is a... is it good to know and make clear for the assignee himself or herself and his family to really to be sure what the purpose of taking this hassle on them is, really very specifically what they really want personally and professionally achieve. And I would even say both of them, not like you're going to work and I am taking care of the kids. Yes, as well, but really personally and professionally. And when the time goes tougher, so remember it again. We are here because of this. And reassess it again. Say, are we really fulfilling what we said in the beginning, why we are here? Or not, and can we somehow do some changes to fulfill what the reason, the purpose is why we are here. So I think this, when it happens in a time of preparation for this big step inside the family between these two partners, like the assignee and relocate and his partner, I would say essential to know why they take it why they are taking it.
I totally agree. I think so often it can be seen as a you're offered an international relocation. Often it's a promotion for the assignee. It's a, in that sense, it's a positive, you know, appreciation, recognition, if you like, of their abilities, and that can be very positive, and of course it is, but means that you can attach the motivation for moving totally to that and forget that actually there's a whole sort of personal impact of this relocation, and you need to have some personal aspirations about the relocation as well, because you're moving your life, not just that one role. And that extends to the partner as well, understanding the impact of the move from a professional perspective, even if the partner initially thinks, well, I will have a career break, I don't need to work, I would enjoy spending time perhaps with children if they have young children. I think it's still really important to be conscious of the impact from a professional perspective and to consider a longer term what that impact might be.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And while the let's say professional goal is well more and less more maybe organized because the company supports a lot and the environment in a company cares for, so the professional plan for the expert partner has to still be somehow at least casted and with the time maybe changed with experience and information change and a little bit shifted. But I believe there should be a plan and vision for the expat partner as well, because we often deal with dual careers here. So one career has the goal and the other one is on a cult on. And I think this may cause tensions as well. So in one moment saying, okay, I mean, I need as well to go my career, so we stop and, you know, and therefore I believe strongly that exactly the focus on a career of the expat spouse should be maybe more than we believe it is or in, you know, because it looks like the leading career, and obviously it is, the leading career is the career of the assignee and everything goes according to it. But as well, the career plan and steps and changing and adjustments for the expat partner should be not forgotten. Even maybe it needs more care, because no one cares, there is not net or structure which helps the expat spouse to, to develop the career. So he has to bring more energy maybe to concentrate on it.
Yes, and I think it can be so easy to think initially, well, oh, I had a career break, it doesn't matter about my career. But then I know, and you probably living in the expat community come across people who have relocated, you know, perhaps two or three times, and the expat partners do become resentful about the impact it's had on their career. I recently ran a course and, you know, people were talking about things like, well, you know, I have these wasted years, I haven't, you know, done anything from a professional perspective in that sense, and I regret that. And it's very sad to get to that point, you know, 8-10 years down the line, where you have that sense of regret, when actually with a bit of proactive thinking, probably, you know, it perhaps wouldn't have been that way. So I agree totally that when you're, yes, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about and contemplating an international relocation as an expat partner, please take time to think about your career and think about the impact of the relocation from a personal perspective, a professional one, and a family perspective if you have children, yeah, for sure. Those three perspectives, yes. Really important. Yes, yeah. And so for the international assignee, so for the assignee, I think thinking about their ongoing career development is really important as well. Do you have any advice for them?
Well, absolutely, don't wait what a company is going to offer and what comes, what will fall down from the sky. It's really, you know, often it's like this approach, like, okay, I am really loyal and I wait whatsoever comes. I'm very versatile. I'm open to any challenges. I think, well, that's great skill and then great attitude, but I would say add to it your vision, have a vision and plan your career with respect to your skills, experience and passion. Don't forget that, you know, go after what you really like and make clear that you go after the vision and take the actions. So, because this is like, I think for the company as well, profitable to see that people have an aim and they have a passion for a certain kind of job and they really like to go after it. Is maybe for sure is better approach this way than waiting what comes. You know, there always can be that it comes something which doesn't match to my vision, but it looks great, so I change the vision. This is not like we
yes.
have to follow something totally strictly when life changes a lot. So when there comes an interesting offer, we are able to change, yeah, and that's fine. But it's good to have a vision and good to know why I do certain steps.
Yes, there's a great career theory, the chaos theory of careers, and it's all about being proactive and what they call luck ready. So yes, having a sense about what you want to achieve, but recognizing that life doesn't always go in quite the direction you
yeah.
want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And being proactive is really important. And I think we both will have seen situations where, you know, people get to the end of their assignments and nothing is forthcoming because no one has really proactively managed that process, not the company, not the assignee. And that's such a dreadful place to be, you know, in limbo for everyone, not knowing what's next. And also, you know, people who get repatriated home just because there's nothing else into roles that, you know, don't use relevant skills, you know, skills that have been acquired whilst they're abroad, which is a really sad end to an international experience as well, and a waste of investment really in that investment and international experience. So yeah, be proactive from both the organisation and the employee's perspective. I totally agree with that. Yeah.
One big surprise for me was that actually I imagine that I will probably gain some wonderful, exciting experience, but I was looking outside more than inside me. I thought I will meet probably many interesting people. Maybe I learn French, I learn Dutch, and actually, okay, except for I didn't learn the languages, then yeah, I met a lot of interesting people, but the biggest surprise and biggest shift happened inside me. And exactly how you mentioned the skill proactivity, this is what I would say is the super essential and on the top of all. And this is not like matter of choice whether I will be proactive and then I will get better choices or better opportunities. It looked to me that if I am not proactive, I am not living this opportunity which is given to me, coming to a completely different environment, different country. If I don't take the chance to be proactive and do things before they come to me, I come rather after them or in the front of them, I cannot live what I call maybe success in this whole process of living in global mobility. I tell you, I came, if you would tell me proactivity is the skill you will learn, I would answer you on the beginning, no, I am already proactive. I proactively search a community to join. I proactively search this and that. But On the end, I search a job opportunity and I proactively, I am there. But actually, it's not really too much proactivity. It came only later. I realized I cannot find community which I'm searching, and as well not the job I am searching. So I had to create the community myself, which was a huge step for me. Considering how my lifestyle or my attitude was before towards such things, I had to as well create a job myself, because there was not for me such opportunity, as well a huge step towards somewhere I never been before for me. And the same with finding interesting people. You know, when we pack here all our stuff and go back, I know that this is what I take from this assignment as the biggest gift. I learned something coming completely out of my comfort zone, and I touched some skill I didn't have before. Wow. So proactivity. Yes.
So I love that. That is, it's extending this sense of proactivity to another level. I remember an interview with Naomi Hathaway. If you're listening, you want to look for it. She's listed in iTunes, and she talked about volunteering. But what she said, and she got this from her experience living in India, and is, if what you want doesn't exist, then go out and create it. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly your experience too, and just such a powerful lesson. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I think there is so much advice and insight there that you shared, Tiana. Thank you so much. I think we're going to have to bring the interview to a close now, unfortunately. So if they would like to connect with you, how can they do that, Tiana?
I have a website. It calls www.findyourvocation.com, and via there, or Jana@findyourvocation.com.
Okay.
As well.
And you're on LinkedIn as well, aren't you, Jana?
Pardon?
You're on LinkedIn as well, aren't you?
On LinkedIn, obviously, yes.
Yeah. Great. Well, we'll leave it there for today, but thank you very, very much for your time and contribution. It's been great chatting to you today. So I will put the links at the bottom of the blog post that accompanies this recording as well. So if you didn't get those details, go to thrivingabroad.com/blog and you'll find this interview with these links at the bottom of the blog post. So if you've enjoyed the episode of Thriving Abroad interview podcast today, then please subscribe and leave a review for us on iTunes. If you'd like to know more about what we do at Thriving Abroad, you can find us at thrivingabroad.com or on the Thriving Abroad Facebook page, and also on Twitter, where we're at Thriving Abroad. So thank you very much for listening today, and I will be back in 2 weeks' time with another interesting Thriving Abroad podcast interview. Bye for now.